Why did you kill Alina?
Are you daft? She consorted with the enemy. My spies followed her to his house and saw him with Unseelie. 'Twas reason enough. Then there was the prophecy. I'd have killed her at birth if I could have. If I'd known she was still alive, I'd have hunted her.
Did you know who she was when you killed her? Did you know she was Isla's daughter?
Of course, she sneered. I had Danny lure her to us when my girls told me they'd spotted an untrained she-seer. Same as I sent her to you. Alina Lane, she called herself. But I knew the instant I saw her who she was. Isla all over again, plain as day. And my Kaylee dead because of her mother. I wanted to strangle her with my bare hands, choke the breath out of her, over and over.
Did you know who I was when you saw me that first night?
A troubled look creased her brow. 'Tis impossible. You can't be. You weren't born. I'd have known were Isla pregnant. Women talk. They never spoke of it.
How did the book get out?
I demanded. A crafty light entered her eyes. You think I let it out? I did no such thing. I do the work of angels. An angel came to me and warned me that the spells holding it had weakened. It bid me enter the forbidden chamber and strengthen the runes. Only I could do it. I had to be brave. I had to be strong. I was both. I see, serve, and protect. I have always been there for my children. I caught my breath. The book seduced. I was willing to bet there had been no angel. The old woman charged with protecting the world from the Shisadu hadn't strengthened the runes. She'd erased them.
I did as the angel instructed. 'Twas your mother who let it out.
What happened the night the book escaped? Tell me everything.
You are an abomination, the doom of us all.
The light in her eyes was matched by a craftier smile.
I'll die here. Well, I ken it, but I'll not be giving the likes of you any peace. Isla was a traitor and a whore, and you're more of the same.
She grabbed my hand and thrust her small frame forward on the spear, twisting it as she went.
Oh!
She cried. Blood gushed from her mouth. She died sudden, mouth open, eyes wide. Disgusted, I dropped her and stepped back, watched her fall to the floor. The Shisadu whomped to the floor. I stepped back hastily. Behind me, Barons was roaring. I glanced over my shoulder. He was hammering at an invisible barrier, his eyes wild, shouting.
It's okay, I told him. I have it under control. I saw through it.
I was trembling, cold and hot, and nauseated. It had all been so real. It felt as if I'd killed my mother, even though my brain knew I hadn't. For a short time I'd believed the lies, and my heart hurt as if I'd lost a family I'd never had. I looked back at Rowena. She stared up at the ceiling, eyes empty, mouth slack. The Shisadu lay between us, closed, seemingly inert, a massive black tome with many locks. I had no doubt it had chosen Rowena for her knowledge of wards, so she could carry it past Baron's protective spells, straight into the heart of our heavily warded world. I thought back, isolating the moment the illusion had begun. From the instant I'd stepped out of the silver tonight, nothing had been real. Rowena and the Shisadu had been waiting to ambush me in the bookstore the moment I'd appeared. It had skimmed my mind, picking out the details I would find most convincing. I'd never left the study, never followed Barons into the rear conversation area, or sat on the couch or met my mother. It had tasted me on many occasions. It knew me, and it had played me like a virtuoso, sawing away at one heartstring after the next. Creating a father for me had been a masterstroke. It had married memories to longings and given me what I wanted most. Family, safety, freedom from crushing choices. All to get me to hand over the amulet, to con me into placing the one thing capable of deceiving both of us into Rowena's hands. And if I had? Oh, God, if I had! I would never have known from that moment forward what was real and what wasn't. I'd been so close to doing it, but the book had made two mistakes. I'd fed it a thought about Barons, and it had immediately altered him to bring him in line with my expectations. Then I'd fed it a false memory, amplified it with the amulet, and it had played it right back at me. I had no doubt the real Barons had been walled off from me the entire time. The Barons who had stood beside me in the bookstore had been an illusion the book had constantly tweaked, according to the feedback it had been getting from me.
Almost had you,
it purred. Almost only counts in hand grenades and horseshoes. I stared down at the Shisadu, with its black cover and many complicated locks. But something wasn't right. It had never looked right to me. I consulted my memories. I remembered the day the Unseelie King had created it. This was not what he'd made. Show me what is true, I murmured. When the Shisadu's true form was revealed, I gasped. Sung into existence from slabs of purest gold and shards of obsidian, it was exquisite. I'd summoned crimson stones from one of the galaxies the hunters like to fly that housed tiny dancing flames. And although I'd put locks on my book, top and bottom, they were decorative, never meant to secure it. My encryption was protection enough. Or so I'd thought. I'd made it lovely. I'd hoped the beauty of its binding might temper the horror of its contents. I smiled sadly. For a brief time, I'd believed I was Isla's daughter. No such luck. I was the Unseelie King, and it was long past time for my battle with my darker half to end. According to the prophecy, as I understood it, I'd triumphed over my monster within. It had been my hunger for illusion, to lose myself in a life I'd never had. I fisted my hand around the amulet. It blazed with blue-black light. I was epic. I was strong. I had created this horror, and I would destroy it. I would not be defeated.
Not defeat, Michaela. I want you to come home.
I am home. My bookstore.
Is nothing. I will show you wonders beyond your imagining. Your body is strong. You will hold me, and we will live. Dance. Fuck. Feast. It will be grand. We will kavruk the world.
I'm not holding you ever.
You were made for me. I for you. Two. For tea and tea. For two.
I'll kill myself first. If I thought it might come to that, I would.
And let me win. You would die and let me rule. Allow me to encourage you.
That's not what you want, and you know it.
What do you think I want, sweet Michaela?
You want me to forgive you.
I have no need of absolution.
You want me to take you back.
In, sweet thing, take me in. Warm and wet like sex is warm and wet.
You want to be the king. You want to turn us evil again.
Evil, good, create, destroy. Puny minds, puny caves. Time, Michaela. Time absolves.
Time does not define the act. Time is impartial. It neither condemns nor absolves. The action contains intent, and intent is where the definition lies.
Bore me with human law.
Enlighten you with universal law.
You convict me of evil intent.
Unequivocally.
In your eyes, I am a monster.
Absolutely.
I should be, how do you say, put down?
That's what I'm here for.
What then does that make you, Michaela?
A repentant king. I eviscerated my evil, imprisoned you once before. And I will again.
How you amuse.
Laugh all you want.
You believe you are my maker.
I know I am.
My sweet Michaela, you are such a fool. You did not make me. I made you.
A chill slid down my spine. Its voice oozed satisfaction and mockery, as if it were watching me head straight toward a train wreck and enjoying every minute of it. My eyes narrowed. Not falling for the chicken-egg discussion. Your evil didn't make me the king. I was the king, and I turned evil. I wised up and dumped my evil into a book. You were never supposed to live, and I plan to rectify that.
Not chickens and eggs. A human woman, and you, a tiny little embryo.
My mouth opened on a retort, but I hesitated. Of all the lies it had woven so far, this one held a startling ring of truth. Why?
What I told you before was true. I took Isla to escape the Abbey, and she was pregnant. I did not expect to find you in her. I did not know how humans replicated. As I used her to kill the other humans who had dared to restrain me... Me, locked in a cold stone vacuum for an eternity of nothingness. Have you any idea, the hell? There you were. The wonder. Unformed life in her body, mine for the taking. I marveled at the beauty of you. Unshaped, unfettered by scruple, unhampered by human weaknesses. Your race and its obsession with sin. You chain yourselves to the whipping post because you fear the sky. It is those chains, those limits, that make the bodies I take so fragile, tear them apart so soon after I possess them. But you were different. You hungered, you slept, you dreamed, but you were pure. You knew no right or wrong, you were empty. You did not resist me. You were open. I filled you. I nestled down inside you, replicated myself, and left it there. You are my child. You suckled at my breast, Michaela. I was your mother's milk. I gave you your defenses against the world. On that day, before your body could sustain itself separately, before you ever had the chance to do something so stupid and small as become human, I claimed you. I gave birth to you, not Isla.
You're lying. I'm the king, I said flatly.
You seek truth. Can you face it?
I said nothing.
The truth is within you. It always has been. It is there in the one place you refuse to go.
I narrowed my eyes. Perhaps I'd been congratulating myself on subduing my inner monster too soon.
Don't talk to it, beautiful girl.
The dreamy-eyed guy had said, long ago in Chester's, long before I'd met the Fyodorcha.
Never talk to it.
I wondered if he'd meant the Shisadu then. Too late. I was waist-deep in quicksand. Struggling would only hasten my descent.
You have only ever taken what I offered, what I floated to the surface. Dive in, Michaela. Graze the bottom of your lake. You will find me down there, shining in all my glory. Lift my lid. Know the truth of your existence. If I am evil, we are evil. If I should be put down... So must you. There is no sentence you can cry upon me that you must not carry out upon yourself. There is no point in fighting me. You are me. Not a king, me. Always have been, always will be. You can't eviscerate me. I am your soul.
Those runes I found are my Shisir gifts.
From the walls of the Unseelie prison, the universe abhors a boring liar. Flamboyance, Michaela. Get some if you wish to spend an eternity with me.
It's because I'm the king. The good part of him. I have his memories to prove it.
We possess memories from a portion of his existence. It was impossible for him to dump his knowledge without imbuing my pages with the essence of the being that created them. I was sentient from the moment he finished scribing my pages. Do you recall anything that happened before the day the queen denied the king his concubine's immortality?
I turned inward, searching. There was nothing. A white expanse of emptiness. It was as if life began that day.
It did. It was the day he wrote his first spell of creation, performed the first of his experiments. We know his life from that day on. We know nothing of his existence before then, and we know little of his life since, only when I tracked and glimpsed him. You are not the king. You are my child, Michaela. I am mother, father, lover, all. It is time to come home.
Was it possible that it was telling me the truth? I wasn't the concubine, wasn't the king. I was just a human who'd been touched by evil before birth.
More than touched. As the king poured himself into me, I am in you. Your body grew around me like a tree absorbs a nail and now waits to be reunited. You miss me. You are hollow without me. Haven't you always known it? Felt empty, hungry for more. If I am evil, so are you. That, my sweet Michaela, is your monster within. Or not.
If you made me, where have you been for the past 23 years?
Waiting for the mewling infant to grow strong before we reunited.
You needed me to flip. That's why you tried to kill the people I loved.
Pain distills the clarifying emotion.
You screwed up. You came too soon. I can deal with pain, and I haven't flipped.
Lift my cover and embrace your dreams. You want to lean back? Snap of a finger. Isla and your father, they are yours. Danny, as a young, innocent child with a bright future. One word can make it so. The walls back up, we will do it immediately. Walls are no hindrance to us. We pass through them.
It would all be a lie.
Not a lie, a different path, equally real. Embrace me, and you will understand. Do you want the spell to unmake his child? Is that what you want? The key to releasing Jericho barons from the eternal hell of watching his son suffer? He has been tortured for so long. Has it not been long enough?
I caught my breath. Of all the things it might say, this was the one thing that tempted me.
I am not without mercy, Michaela.
The Shisadu said gently.
Compassion is not beyond me. I see it in you. I learn. I evolve. Perhaps you do have the good parts of the king in you after all. Perhaps your humanity will temper me. You will make me kinder, more forgiving. I will make you stronger, less breakable.
Memories swarmed through my mind. I knew the book was sifting through them, manipulating me. It had found the images Baron showed me in the desert of the child dying in our arms. It embellished upon what Baron's had told me about his enemies, nearly drowned me in images of barbaric men torturing and killing the child again and again. Behind those images, a father stalked through eternity, hunting for a way to release his son and grant him peace, and gain it himself.
He gave you everything, and has never asked you for a thing in return. Until this, he will die for you over and over, and all he wants you to do is free his son.
There was nothing it had just said that I could argue with.
Open me, Michaela. Embrace me. Use me for good, out of love. How could a thing given from love be bad? You said it yourself. It is the intention that defines the action.
And there it was in a nutshell, the ultimate temptation. To pick up the book, crack it open and read it, looking for the spell so Barons could unmake his child, because I would be doing it for all the right reasons. Even Barons had said evil wasn't a state of being, it was a choice. The Unseelie King had not trusted himself to retain the power contained within the pages of the Shisadu. How could I? I stared at it, debating.
Irony. Perfect definition.
Barons had said.
That, for which I want to possess it, I would no longer want once I possessed it.
If I picked it up, even with the most merciful of reasons in my heart, would I still care about releasing the child once I raised the cover? Would I care about Jack and Rainey, about the world, about Barons himself?
Foolish fears, my sweet Michaela. You have free will. I am only a chisel. You are the sculptor. Use me. Shape your world. Be a saint if you wish. Plant flowers. Save children. Champion small animals.
Was it that easy? Could it be true? I could make the world perfect.
It's an imperfect world, Mac.
I could almost hear Barons roaring. It was. Royally screwed up. Packed with injustices that needed to be righted. Bad people and hard times. I could make everyone happy.
You have the amulet. With it you will always have control over me. You will always be stronger than I. I am merely a book. You are alive.
It was just a book.
Take me. Use me. It is as Barons has always told you. It is how you go on that defines you. You make the choices. His child suffers. There is so much suffering in this world. You can make it all go away.
I stared at it, hands flexing. That was the hard thing, the pain. He and his son suffered endlessly and would continue to do so every day, eternally, unless I could get the spell of unmaking I'd promised him.
I have such a spell. We will lay the child to rest together. You will be his savior. We will free him now, this very night. Open me, Michaela. Open yourself. I have been unguided. You will teach me.
I bit my lip, frowning. Could I guide the Shisadu? Would my humanity give me the edge I needed? I turned inward, searching my heart, my soul. What I found there straightened my spine and squared my shoulders. I can, I said. I can change you. I can make you better.
Yes, yes, do it now. Take me, hold me, open me.
It whispered.
Love you, Michaela. Love me.
I couldn't wait another moment. I reached for the Shisadu. 48. The book was icy beneath my hands, but the flames and the rubies warmed my soul. I was touching the Shisadu. The contact took my breath away. We were twins separated at birth, rejoined. I'd been waiting for it all my life. With it in my hands, I was complete. I hugged it to my chest, shivering, trembling with emotion. A dark song began to build inside me. The book was a finger, and I was the wine-damp rim of a fine crystal goblet. It slid round and round, playing a melody that came from deep within my compromised soul. I ran my hands lovingly over the jeweled cover. I felt the immense power it contained. It inflated me, swelled inside me, made me drunk on it, giddy. The baby I'd once been, who'd known no right or wrong, was still in there. Unborn, we have yet to develop morality. I suspect there's some part of us that remains that way until death. We choose. That's what it's all about. When I stopped embracing it, held it away to admire it. The crimson rune that had been hidden in one of my palms pulsed wetly, expanded and latched tiny suckers onto it, binding the covers closed.
What are you doing?
The Shisadu screamed. Making you better. I began to cry as I scooped another bloody rune from the glassy black surface of my lake. I wanted the book like I wanted to breathe. Now I knew why it had hunted me. I was its perfect host. We were made for each other. With it, I would never fear anything. Rejecting it was the hardest thing I'd ever done in my life. More bitter still was the knowledge that with each rune I pressed into the boards and binding, I was condemning Jericho and his son to continue living in an eternal hell.
How dare you deceive me?
The nerve of me! I wanted to tear the runes off, crack open the book, take my spell of unmaking. I didn't dare. If I opened the gold, black, and crimson cover, the tiniest sliver, its dark song would rush out and consume me. She would doom the world, they'd said. I'd been tempted, so tempted. I wanted Alina back. I wanted the walls up. I wanted Danny to be innocent and young and not my sister's killer. I wanted to be Jericho Baron's hero. I wanted to release him from endless pain, see him walk into the future with hope, and maybe even smile every now and then.
You said the world was imperfect.
It is. I pressed another dripping rune into the cover. But it was my world, filled with good people, like my father and mother, Patient Cat and Inspector Jane, who were always doing their parts to make it a better place. Unseelie might be overrunning our planet, but we'd been long overdue for a threat to unify us as a race and turn our petty angers away from one another. There was pain, but there was also joy. It was in the tension between the two that life happened. Imperfect as it was, this world was real. Illusion was no substitute. I'd rather live a hard life of fact than a sweet life of lies. I flipped the book over and pressed a rune into its back. Its voice was muffled, growing weaker.
He will hate you.
That was the crushing blow. I'd been a breath away from what Barons had devoted his entire existence to getting, and I'd turned my back on it. I'd promised him. I'd told him we would find a way, and I'd failed him. There was no way to lift a single spell of such power from the Shisadu. It would never have floated it to the surface and given it to me willingly. Even now it was regretting that it had ever floated anything to the surface for me. But it had taken calculated risks, tempting me to look deeper. It had given me what I'd needed to stay alive, to keep me heading toward merging with it, taking it in, letting it have my body and have control. It knew what I wanted now, and would never give it up unless I merged with it completely. If I'd raised that lid, even a scant inch, just for a quick peek, looking for the spell, it would have been all over. It would have taken up squatter's rights and obliterated me. Perhaps some tiny part of me would have remained cognizant, screaming in eternal horror, but not enough to matter. Riordan had been right. The Shisadu was after a body, and it had wanted mine. If I believed its story, it had prepped me to be possessed since before I was born. Waited until I'd become the perfect host. But it hadn't waited quite long enough. Or maybe it had waited too long.
Evil is a completely different creature, Mac.
Riordan had said.
Evil is bad that believes it's good.
I hadn't understood what he was saying at the time. I did now. I pressed another rune onto the binding. I would never lay Baron's child to rest now. Never free the man.
Destroy you, bitch! Not the end. Never the end.
Four more runes and the Shisadu was silent. I sat back on my heels. My hands were shaking. I was exhausted and my cheeks were wet. I was about to lay my hand against the cover to confirm what I sensed, that it was contained, at least as well as it could be until we got it to the Abbey, when the invisible barrier restraining Jericho evaporated. Then I was in his arms, and he was kissing me, and all I could think was that I'd done it, I'd survived, but at what cost? From the day I'd met him, he'd been after one thing and one thing only. He'd been hunting it for thousands of years with single-minded focus. I was a woman he'd known for a few months. What could I possibly mean to him compared to that? Forty-nine. Shocked by the news that Rowena was dead, the surviving members of the Haven took one look at Drustan McKelter carrying the book, identified themselves, and yes, Joe was one of them, then removed the wards and opened the corridor to allow access to the chamber in which the Shisadu had originally been interred. I was thrilled Drustan was carrying it. I wanted nothing more to do with it. I never wanted to touch it again. If I did, I'd have to think about the spell Barons wanted, how close it was, and how all I'd have to do was lift that cover and... I shook my head, forcing the thought away. I'd done my part. It was here, and now it was their responsibility. I'd ridden in the Hummer with the Keltar clan to the Abbey as a precaution. It was hard to believe it was almost over. I couldn't shake the feeling that the other shoe hadn't dropped yet. In movies, the villain always twitched one last time, and my nerves were a wreck waiting for it. Joe and the other Haven members led our procession into the bowels of the stone fortress, followed by Riordan and the others. The Keltar druids were next. Barons and I followed, with Cat and a half-dozen more she-seers bringing up the rear. Valaine and his Seelie were due to sift in at any moment. I kept a careful eye on the book as Drustan carried it down the corridor, past a now-silent image of Isla O'Connor that I could barely look at, into an underground chamber, down more stairs, into another chamber, and down still more stairs. I quit counting after a dozen flights. It was deep. I was once again underground. I kept waiting for the book to somehow sense it was approaching the place where it had been caged for so long and make a final deadly gambit for my soul, or body. I looked at Barons. Do you feel like...
The fat lady hasn't sung.
I love that about him. He gets me. I don't even have to finish my sentences. Ideas? I said.
Not a one.
Are we being paranoid?
Possibly. Hard to say.
He looked at me. Although his eyes were empty of conversation, I knew he wanted to know everything that had happened while I'd been battling the book, but wouldn't ask until we were alone. The entire time the Shisadu had been playing its head games with me, all he'd been able to see was me standing in silence with Rowena, me killing Rowena, then me standing in silence near the book. The illusions it had woven for me had taken place only in my head. The battle had been invisible to the naked eye, but the hardest ones are. He'd been a silent mountain of barely contained hostility the entire way out here. Since the moment the barrier restraining him had evaporated, he hadn't stopped touching me. I was sucking it up. Who knew how he'd feel soon?
I couldn't get to you.
He'd exploded when he'd finally stopped kissing me long enough to speak. But you did, I told him. I heard you roaring. It was what tipped me off. You got through.
I couldn't save you.
His expression had been stark, furious. I couldn't save him either, and I was in no hurry to tell him that.
Did you get it? The spell of unmaking.
Ancient eyes had stared at me, filled with ancient grief. And something more. Something so alien and unexpected that I'd almost burst into tears. I'd seen many things in his eyes in the time that I'd known him. Lust, amusement, sympathy, mockery, caution, fury. But I had never seen this. Hope. Jericho Barons had hope, and I was the reason for it. Yes, I lied. I got it. I would never forget his smile. It had illuminated him from the inside out. I blew out a breath and focused on my surroundings. There was a small underground city beneath the abbey. Even Barons was beginning to look impressed. Wide street-like tunnels intersected neatly. Narrower alleys ran off them in dizzying slopes. We passed an enormous hive of catacombs that Joe told us held the remains of every grand mistress that had ever lived. Somewhere among those labyrinthine tunnels, hidden in row after row of mausoleums, was the crypt of the first leader of the First Haven. I wanted to find it, run my fingers over the inscription, know the date our order had been founded. There were secrets down here entrusted to only the initiate, and I wanted to know them all. Cat, too, was a member of the Haven, a secret she'd not betrayed. Rowena would have shut me out if I'd told you, and I'd have had no control over the inner doings of our order. It wasn't a risk I could take. You did well tonight, Mac. She was wrong about you. With both prophecies against you, still you came through for us. Serene grey eyes searched mine. I can't begin to imagine what you went through. The look on her face told me she'd like to know, and that she wouldn't be waiting long to ask me in detail. We can't thank you enough. Sure you can. I gave her a tired smile. Never let it get out again. There was a sudden commotion ahead of us. The Seelie had just sifted in, minus Valaine, in close proximity to Riot and Lore and Fade. I wasn't sure who was more disgusted, or more homicidal. Velvet hissed.
You have no right to be here.
Kill it,
Riordan said flatly.
Don't you dare, I heard Joe snap.
Fucking fairies,
Lore muttered.
Touch one of them and I'll—
What, human?
Riordan barked at Joe.
Just what will you do to stop me?
Don't push me.
Stop it,
Truston said quietly.
'Tis a fae book, and they've come to see it contained, as is their right. They're the reason it got out in the first place,
Fade said.
We are Seelie, not She-Seers. The She-Seers let it out. You made it. We did not. The Unseelie made it.
Seelie, Unseelie, you're all fairies to me,
Lore grumbled. I thought there was no sifting in this part of the Abbey, I said. We had to drop all the wards to let everyone in. There's too much diversity in everyone's DNA, I said dryly. Cat smiled, for lack of a better word. The Celtar are one thing, Barons and his men another, the Fae yet another. And me? I wanted to ask, but didn't. Was I human? Had the book told me any of the truth? Did I really have the Shisadu inside me? Had it stamped its imprint, word for word, into my defenseless infant psyche? Over the years, had I always sensed it, something fundamentally wrong with me, and done my best to wall it off, or submerge it in a dark, glassy lake to protect myself? If I did have the entire book of dark magic inside me, and Cat found out about it, would they try to lock me up down here, too? I shivered. Would they hunt me like we'd hunted the Shisadu? Barons looked down at me.
What is it?
Just cold, I lied. If I did have the Shisadu inside me, did that mean the spell I'd walked away from was in my glassy lake? There at the bottom, like the book had said. What was the difference then? Had I really subdued the monster, or was it still inside me? Was the monster temptation and I'd defeated it? Where's Valaine? I asked, desperate for concretes.
He is collecting the queen,
Velvet said. That started another fight.
If you think we're going to let her come here and open the Shisadu, you're wrong.
How do you expect her to rebuild the walls without it?
Drelia demanded.
We don't need walls. You die as easy as any humans,
Fade said. Is she even conscious? I asked. We need the walls, Cat said quietly.
She surfaces, but is still mostly out of it,
Riordan said.
Point is, if anybody's reading that damned book, it's not going to be a fairy. They started this fucking mess.
Everyone was still arguing 10 minutes later when we reached the cavern that had been designed to contain the Shisadu. As we approached the doors, Christian glanced back at me and I nodded. I knew what he was thinking. We'd seen doors like this before, at the entrance to the Unseelie King's Fortress of Black Ice. However, these were much smaller. Cat pressed a hand to a pattern of runes on the door, and they swung open silently. The blackness beyond was so enormous and complete that the thin beams of our flashlights were swallowed a few feet in. I heard a match being struck, then Joe lit an oil torch mounted in a silver sconce on the wall. It flared into life, fed into the next and the next, until the cavern was brilliantly illuminated. A hush fell over us. Chiseled of milky stone, the cavern soared to an impossibly high ceiling with no visible means of support. Every inch of it, Floors, walls, ceiling was covered with silver runes that glittered as if they'd been branded into stone with diamond dust. The torchlight danced off the runes, making the chamber almost too bright to see. I squinted, figured the only place in Dublin I'd ever need my sunglasses was underground. The cavern was easily as large as the Unseelie King's bedchamber. Between the doors and the size of the place, I wondered how much credence there was to the theory that the king was the one who'd founded our order, who'd originally brought his cursed book here to be entombed. In the center was a slab laid across two stones. It was also covered with glittering symbols, but these moved constantly, sliding up and across the slab like the tattoos that moved beneath the Unseelie prince's skin. They disappeared over the edge and began again at the floor.
"Seen runes like these before, Barons?"
Riordan said.
"No, you,"
Barons said.
"New to me. Could be useful."
I heard the sound of a phone taking pictures. Then I heard the sound of a phone being crushed against rock.
"Are you out of your mind?"
Riordan said disbelievingly.
"That was my phone."
"Possibly," Joe said. "But no one records anything here."
"Crush something of mine again? I'll crush your skull."
"A weary of you," Joe said.
"I weary of your ass too, she seer,"
Riordan growled. "Leave her alone," I said. "It's their abbey." Riordan shot me a look. Barons intercepted it, and Riordan looked away, but only after a long, tense moment.
"You must place the book on the slab," Cat instructed. "Then the four stones must be positioned around it."
"Then, Michaela, you must remove the runes from the binding,"
Fulane said. "What?" I exclaimed, whirling to face him as he sifted in. "I'm not taking those runes off," Baron said.
"I thought you were bringing the queen."
"I am making certain it is safe for her first."
Valaine scanned the chamber, studying each person, Fae and Druid. I could tell he wasn't comfortable with the risk. His gaze rested on Velvet for a moment, who nodded. Then he looked at me.
"I apologize, but it is the only way to protect her. I cannot be two of me at once without having my abilities."
"What are you talking about?" He didn't answer. My parents were suddenly there. My mom and dad, here with the Shisadu, in the last place I would ever have brought them. And supposedly I was going to have to remove the runes, but we'd see about that. My dad had the Seelie Queen in his arms, heavily wrapped in blankets. She was so well swaddled that all I could see of her were a few strands of silvery hair and the tip of her nose. My mom was pressed close to my dad's side, and I understood why Valaine had apologized. He should have. He had my parents protecting the queen with their bodies. "You're using my parents as her shield?"
"It's all right, baby. We wanted to help,"
Jack said. Rainey agreed. "You're so much like your sister, facing everything alone, but you don't have to. We're family. We face things together. Besides, if I have to stay one more moment in that glass cage, I'll lose my mind. We've been stuck in there for months." Barons jerked his head, and Riordan, Lore, and Fade closed in around my parents, shielding them. "Thank you," I said softly. He was always protecting me and mine. God, I sucked. Valaine was still eyeing all the occupants of the room.
"I had no choice, Michaela. Someone kidnapped her. At first I believed it must be one of my race. Now I wonder if it was not one of yours."
"Let's just get this over with," I said tightly. "Why do I have to remove the runes?"
"They are unpredictable parasites, and you have placed them directly on a sentient being. On walls, on a cage, they are useful. On a living, thinking entity, they are unbelievably dangerous. In time, it and they will transmogrify. Who knows what kind of monster we will be dealing with then?"
I blew out a breath. It made perfect Fae sense. I'd applied something Unseelie and alive to something else Unseelie and alive. Who could say whether it would ultimately make the book stronger, maybe even give it whatever it needed to free itself?
"It must be reinterred precisely as it was before, without the runes."
"She's not removing them,"
said Barons.
"It's too dangerous."
"It is too dangerous if she does not.
If it becomes something else, we'll deal with it then,
said Barons.
You may no longer be around,
Valaine replied coolly.
We cannot always count on Jericho Barons to save the day.
I'll always be around.
The runes on the walls, ceiling, and floor make them obsolete. They will contain it.
It escaped before.
It was carried out, Cat said. Isla O'Connor carried it out. She was the leader of the Haven, and the only one with the power to carry it past the wards. I was quiet, thinking. The truth of what Valaine had said resonated deep inside me. I feared the Crimson Runes myself. They were potent. They'd been given to me by the Shisadu, which in itself was enough to make them suspect. Was this another of its patient gambits? Had I sealed it with precisely what it needed to one day break free again? Everyone was looking at me. I was tired of making all the decisions. I see both sides. I don't know the answer. We'll vote, Joe said.
We're not voting on something this important,
Baron said.
This isn't a fucking democracy.
Would you prefer a tyranny? Who would you place in charge?
Valaine demanded. Why isn't it a democracy? Cat said. Everyone here is present because they are useful and important. Everyone should have a say. Barons cut her a hard look.
Some of us are more useful and important than others. My ass, you are!
Christian growled. Barons folded his arms.
Who let the Unseelie in here?
Christian lunged for him. Dagus and Kian were on him in an instant, restraining him. The muscles in the young Highlander's arms bulged as he shook his uncles off.
I have an idea. Let's subject Barons to a little lie detector test.
I sighed. Why don't we subject everyone to one, Christian? But who's going to test you? Will you be judge and jury of us all?
I could,
he said coldly.
Got a few secrets you don't want to get out, Mac?
Gee, look who's talking, Prince Christian.
Enough,
Drustin said.
No one of us is any better qualified to make the choice alone. Let's take the bloody vote and be done with it.
The Fae voted to remove the Crimson Runes and trust Valaine, naturally. As longtime druids to the Fae, the Keltar did too. Riad and Lore, Barons, Fade, and myself voted against it. The She-Seers were split down the middle, with Joe for removing them and Cat against. I could barely see the tip of my father's head between Lore, Fade, and Riadan, but my parents weighed in on my side. Smart parents.
They shouldn't count,
Christian said.
They're not even part of this.
They're protecting the Queen with their lives,
Barron said flatly.
They count.
We still lost. Drustin placed the book on the slab. Barons took the stones from Lore and Fade and placed the first three around it. Valaine laid the final stone in place. As soon as the four were positioned, they began to glow an eerie blue-black and emit a soft, constant chime. The entire top of the slab was bathed in blue-black light.
Now, Michaela,
Valaine said. I bit my lower lip, hesitating, wondering what would happen if I refused. We voted, Cat reminded. I sighed. I knew what would happen. We'd still be down here tomorrow and the next day and the next, arguing about what to do. I had a really bad feeling about this, but I'd had really bad feelings before that had amounted to nothing more than a case of nerves, and after everything I'd been through, I could understand how I might feel dread merely being in the book's presence. I looked at Valaine. He nodded encouragingly. I looked at Barons. He was so inhumanly still that I almost missed him. For a moment, he looked like someone else's shadow in the bright cavern. It was a neat trick. I knew what that kind of stillness meant. He didn't like it either, but had come to the same conclusions as me. Ours was a volatile group. It had voted. If I went against that vote, all hell would break loose. We'd turn on one another, and who knew how ugly things might get. My parents were here. Did I remove the runes and potentially expose them to risk? Or refuse and potentially expose them to risk? There were no good choices. I reached into the blue-black light and began to peel the first rune from the spine. As I pried it away, it pulsed like a small, angry heartbeat, and left a lesion that pooled with black blood before vanishing. What am I supposed to do with them? I held it in the air.
Velvet will sift them away as you remove them,
Valaine said. One by one, I tugged them away and they popped out of existence. When there was only one left, I stopped and pressed both my hands to the cover. It felt inert. Were the runes on the inside of these walls really enough to hold it? I was about to find out. I tugged the final one from the binding of the book. It came away reluctantly, squirming like a hungry leech, and tried to attach to me once I'd broken the bond. Velvet sifted it out. I held my breath as the crimson rune vanished. After about 20 seconds, I heard a small explosion of gusty exhales. I think we all expected it to morph into the beast and rain down the end of days on us.
Well?
Valaine said. I opened my she-seer senses, trying to feel it.
Is it contained?
Barons demanded. I reached with everything I had, stretching, pushing that part of me that could sense oops as far as it could go, and for a brief moment I felt the entire interior of the cavern and understood the purposes of the runes. Each had been meticulously chiseled into the stone interior so that if lines were drawn connecting them, from floor to ceiling and wall to wall, they would reveal an intricate tight grid. Once the book had been positioned on the slab and the stones arranged around it, the runes had begun to activate. They now crisscrossed the room with a gigantic, invisible spider web. I could almost see the tensile silvery strands shooting past my head, feel them slicing through me. Even if the book somehow got off the slab, it would be instantly stuck in the first of countless sticky compartments. The harder it fought, the more the web would twist around it, eventually cocooning it. It was over. It was really over. There was no other shoe that was going to drop. There was a time I'd thought this day would never come. The mission had seemed too difficult, the odds too strongly stacked against us. But we'd done it. The Shisadu was shut down, locked up, caged, imprisoned, put to rest, neutralized, inert. So long as nobody ever came down here and set it free again. We were going to need better locks on the door, and I was going to make a motion that no one in the Haven got to have a key this time around. I wasn't sure why they'd been able to get in to begin with. There was no reason anyone should enter this cavern, ever. Relief flooded me. I was having a hard time processing that it was really, truly over and comprehending all that meant. Life could begin again. It would never be as normal as it used to be, but it would be a lot more normal than it had been for a long time. With the biggest, most immediate threat out of the way, we could focus our efforts on reclaiming and rebuilding our world. I could get some pots and dirt and start a rooftop garden at the bookstore. I'd never have to walk down a dark street and be afraid the book might be waiting for me, ready to crush me with a bone-deep migraine, set my spine on fire, or tempt me with illusion. It would never again possess one of us, never slaughter its way through our midst or threaten the people I loved. I didn't have to strip when I went to Chester's anymore. Skin-tight clothing was a fad whose time had passed. I turned around. Everyone was looking at me expectantly. They looked so wired and anxious, I suspected they'd jump out of their skins if I said, boo. And for a moment I was tempted. But I didn't want anything to detract from the joy of the moment. I spread my hands and shrugged, smiling. It's over. It worked. The Shisadu is just a book, nothing more. The cheers were deafening. 50. Well, okay, so maybe the cheers weren't deafening, but they felt deafening to me because I was cheering too, and louder than most. The reality of the situation was that the she-seers cheered. Mom and Dad hooted. Drustin whooped. Dagus and Kian grunted. Christopher looked worried. Christian turned and began to walk away in silence. Baron scowled, as did the rest of his men, and the Seely glared. Then the fighting broke out. Again. I sighed gustily. They really needed to get with the program and learn to celebrate the good times a little longer before dwelling on the problems. I'd been walking around under the sentence of a prophecy that I would doom or save the world, and I'd... well, technically, I hadn't done either. I hadn't doomed it, but I couldn't see any way I'd saved it. Unless I'd saved it simply by not dooming it. But still, I knew the importance of celebrating every now and then to alleviate the stress.
We cannot restore the walls without the song,
Valaine was saying.
Who says we need the walls back up?
Barons demanded.
Your roaches, we arrayed. We'll get rid of you eventually.
We are not insects,
Velvet said tightly.
I was talking about the Unseelie. I figured you prancing fairy bastards would get off our world voluntarily after helping eradicate your skulking half.
I do not prance, Drelia was insulted. You would do well to recall the delights found in our arms.
I glanced at Barons disbelievingly. You had sex with her? He rolled his eyes.
It was a long time ago, and only because she pretended to know something about the book.
Lies, ancient one. You panted around behind me.
Barons has never panted around behind anyone, I said. His dark gaze shimmered with amusement.
Unexpected, but thanks for the defense.
Well, you haven't. Not even me.
Debatable. Royadin would disagree with you.
Sleep with another fairy and I'll turn into Valaine's personal prior.
His eyes were murderous, but he kept his tone light.
Jealous much?
What's mine is mine.
He went very still.
Is that how you think of me?
Time seemed to stand still while we looked at each other. The arguing receded. The cavern emptied and it was just him and me. The moment stretched between us, pregnant with possibility. I hate moments like this. They always demand you lay something on the line. He wanted an answer, and he wasn't moving until he got one. I could see it in his eyes. I was terrified. What if I said yes and he came back with a mocking retort? What if I got dewy and emotional and he left me hanging all exposed? Worse yet, what was going to happen when he found out I hadn't gotten the spell to free his son? Would he take down my sign, batten up my beloved store, steal off with his child in the dark of night, burning off like mist in the morning sun, and I would never see him again? I'd learned a thing or two. Hope strengthens. Fear kills.
Bet your ass your mind, bud,
I shot at him. I was staking my claim and I'd fight for it. Lie, cheat, and steal. So I hadn't gotten the spell. Yet. Tomorrow was another day. And if that was all he'd wanted me for, he didn't deserve me. Barons tossed his head back and laughed, teeth flashing in his dark face. Only once before had I ever heard him laugh like that. The night he caught me dancing to Bad Moon Rising, wearing the mech halo, leaping small couches in a single bound, slaying pillows and slashing air. I caught my breath. Like Alina's laugh, which used to make my world brighter than the hot afternoon sun, it held joy. The rest of the occupants faded back in. They'd all gone silent and were staring at Barons and me. He stopped laughing instantly and cleared his throat. Then his eyes narrowed.
What the fuck is he doing? We haven't made a decision. I was trying to tell you,
Jack said,
but you didn't hear a thing I said. You were looking at my daughter like, get away from the book, Valaine,
Barons growled.
If anyone's going to be looking at it, it'll be Mac.
Mac's not touching it, Rainey said instantly. That terrible thing should be destroyed.
Can't be, Mom. It doesn't work that way. While everyone was fighting and Barons and I were absorbed in a wordless conversation, Valaine had taken the bundled queen, concubine, from my daddy and was now standing near the slab, looking down at the Shisadu.
Don't open it, Cat warned. We need to talk, make plans.
She's right,
Dagus said.
'Tis not a thing to be undertaken lightly, Valaine.
There are precautions that must be observed,
Druston added.
There has been enough talk,
Valaine said.
My duties to my race are clear. They always have been.
Barons didn't waste any breath. He moved like the beast, too fast to see. One moment he was a few feet from me. The next he was slamming up against a wall and bouncing off it, snarling. Clear crystal walls erupted around Valaine. Lined with blue-black bars, they extended all the way up to the ceiling. He didn't even turn. It was as if he'd tuned us out. He placed the unconscious body of the queen on the ground next to the slab and reached for the Shisadu. "Valaine, don't open it!" I cried. "I think it's inert, but we don't have any idea what will happen if you..." It was too late. He'd opened the book. Arms spread, hands splayed on either side of it. Head down, Valaine began to read, his lips moving. Barons flung himself at the wall. He bounced off. Valaine had shut us out. Riordan, Lore, and Fade joined him, and moments later all five Keltar and my dad were at it too, pounding on the walls, blasting into it with their shoulders and fists. Me, I just stood, staring, trying to make sense of it, thinking back to the day I'd met Valaine. He'd told me he served his queen, that she needed the book in order to have any chance at recreating the lost song. At the time, the only thing I'd been worried about was finding Alina's murderer and keeping the walls up. I'd very much wanted the queen to find that song and reinforce them. However, he'd also told me it was legend that if there were no contenders for the queen's magic at the time of her death, all the matriarchal magic of the true race would go to the most powerful male. Surely he wouldn't have told me that if he'd planned all along to be the one. Would he? Was he that stupid? Or so arrogant that he'd given me all the clues, laughing the entire time as the puny human failed to put them together? If he read the entire Shisadu, would that make him, unquestionably, the most powerful male, stronger even than the Unseelie King? I hadn't seen a single Unseelie princess. Not one. All the Seelie princesses were, according to Valaine, missing or dead. What if he finished reading the book and killed the queen? He would have all the dark knowledge of the Unseelie King and all the magic of the queen. He would be unstoppable. Was he the player who'd been manipulating events, biding time, waiting for the perfect moment? I felt for my spear in the holster. It wasn't there. I inhaled, nostrils flaring. How long ago had it disappeared? Had he taken it to kill the queen? Would he even need it? Once he'd absorbed the book, could he simply unmake her? Was I being totally paranoid? This was Valaine, after all. He was probably just looking for the fragments of the song for his queen, and once he'd found them, he would close the deadly tome. I sidled in for a better view. The men were blasting the walls with everything they had. Christopher and Christian were doing some sort of chant, while the others hammered at it. Nothing they did was having the slightest effect. Peering between them, I suddenly got a clear look at Valaine. Unruffled by the assault on the walls he'd erected, he stood, head thrown back, eyes closed. His hands weren't spread on each side of the book as I'd thought. They were on it, a palm pressed to each page. How was he touching an Unseelie hallow? The pages were entrancingly beautiful, each made of hammered gold, embellished with gems, covered with a strikingly bold, dynamic script that rushed across the pages like ceaseless waves. The first language was as fluid as the original queen had been static. Valaine wasn't reading the Shisadu. The spells scribed upon the gold pages were vanishing from the book, passing up his arms into his body, leaving the pages empty. He was draining it, absorbing it, becoming it. "Barons!" I shouted to be heard over the roars and grunts as bodies imploded with an unyielding barrier. "We've got a serious problem."
"Same page, Mac. Same bloody word."
When I was 15, Dad taught me how to drive. Mom was terrified to let me behind the wheel. I hadn't been that bad. I remember swerving wide around a bend, narrowly missing a mailbox and asking Daddy, "But how do you stay on the road? What keeps people from just running off it? It's not like we're on rails." He'd laughed.
Ruts in the road, baby. They aren't really there, but if you keep doing it over and over, eventually you begin to feel them, and a sort of autopilot kicks in.
Life is like that. Ruts in the road. My rut was that Valaine was one of the good guys.
But be careful,
Jacket added.
Because autopilot can be dangerous. Drunk driver might come at you head on. The most important thing to know about ruts is how and when to get out of them.
I was immobilized by indecision. Was Valaine really one of the bad guys? Was he really trying to usurp all Fae power and rule? Was I supposed to intervene? What could I do? As my mom and I watched, Cat, Joe, and the other she-seers joined the assault on the walls. I was about to step in myself when my mom said, "Who's that handsome young man? He wasn't here be—" She froze mid-word. So did everyone in the cavern. The Keltar stopped chanting. Barons and my daddy were frozen mid-lunge. Even Valaine was affected, but not completely. The spells moving up his arm slowed from a fast-moving river to a stream. I looked where my mother had been pointing and lost my breath. He was by the door. No, he was behind me. No, he was right in front of me. When he smiled at me, I got lost in his eyes. They expanded until they were enormous, and I was swallowed up in darkness, drifting between supernovas in space.
"Hey, beautiful girl,"
the dreamy-eyed guy said. "Butterfly fingers," I managed finally. "You..."
"Finest surgeon,"
he agreed. "You helped